What's happening, everybody? Here, 3 p.m. Rumble.com/LFATV. Across all platforms, baby. Giddy up. Let's go. It is Tuesday, August 12th, 2025. My name is Kevin Smith, and thank you all so much for tuning in because I'm going to read you the funniest. I'm going to read to you and show you the funniest damn story I've ever seen. I don't know how I didn't catch it yet, because apparently it's been going on for some 25 years at this point, right down the street from my house, and I never knew about it. Today I'm going to introduce you to a Long Island couple who apparently is very good friends with Chuck Schumer. Their names are Joe and Eileen Bailey. Joe and Eileen Bailey, they are your run-of-the-mill couple here in suburbia, living in the idyllic town of Massapequa, New York. We're going to introduce you to them, and we're going to talk about their views on politics and exactly how their views on politics have shaped what Chuck Schumer has done over the last several years. This is hilarious. There's no two ways about it. Up, down, left, way, and center. Here we go. This is going to be... I've never been more excited to do a segment in my entire life. Also, John Bolton makes an ass out of himself. We're going to show you that towards the end of the show today as we show you more recaps of rich people being very upset that Donald Trump is getting rid of crime in Washington, D.C. Before we get started, we are going to pop that live chat up onto the screen. I want to welcome everybody back. Obviously, I was off the network for a week, but we are back. We are good. We are ready to go. We are good. We are ready to go. Shout out, everybody. Kimberly, happy birthday. Happy birthday. Very, very good. We're going to talk about... I've never been more excited to talk about this. And I want to be clear. This comes from a John Oliver segment. Now, I'm not a big fan of John Oliver. I think when his show first started, it was incredibly funny when he was making fun of things like the Miss America pageant and Olive Garden. I thought he was incredibly funny. But like most late-night hosts, has become an unmitigated hack for the Democratic Party. Or so I thought. Or so I thought it was for the Democratic Party, as John Oliver did a wild breakdown of Chuck Schumer and his best friends. This is amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Before we get started, guys, hit that thumbs up button. Share the video out all over the place, wherever it is you may be watching from. Do me a favor, guys. Head on over to loudmajorityusa.com. That's loudmajorityusa.com. Sign up for our newsletter. Check out our shop. That is the best way to support this program and everything we've got going on over here at The Loud Majority. You guys can use promo code RUMBLE to get 20% off everything on the website. That's promo code RUMBLE to get 20% off everything on the website. I really do appreciate the support, as always. LoudMajorityUSA.com. So I hope you're sitting down for this one. So there's a couple out here on Long Island that Chuck Schumer has been referencing in terms of his politics for more than 25 years. Their names are Joe and Eileen Bailey. Joe and Eileen Bailey, they are your run-of-the-mill suburbia couple. They are neither right nor left. They voted both ways. They voted for candidates of different political stripes. You know, they have a child. And they worry about their future. And Chuck Schumer has done everything in his political career, according to him, particularly based on this tweet from 2012, talking about Long Island, the home of the Baileys, is quintessentially a slice of America, perfect crowd for tonight's town hall, blah, 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 right? So here's Chuck Schumer in 2012 tweeting about the Bailey family. Here is John Oliver, who I want to be clear, not a big fan of, showing you just how much Chuck Schumer cares for the Bailey family. Of course, Chuck Schumer leaves out one interesting little nugget about the Bailey family that he's chosen not to tell anyone.
We want to talk less about Chuck Schumer himself and more about two of his favorite people, Joe and Eileen Bailey. They're a couple that throughout Schumer's career he has talked about a lot.
They're a middle-class couple in Massapequa, which is a suburb on Long Island.
Joe and Eileen Bailey, this middle-class couple, they bought into Reagan Republicanism in 1980. Right. Joe and Eileen are worried about losing their jobs or their friends' jobs. Right.
The Baileys really don't believe in trickle-down. They don't believe in a whole lot of government spending, but they believe in tax breaks for kids to go to college. He's an insurance adjuster and lives in the New York suburbs. By New York standards, he makes $50,000 a year. If he lived in the middle of the country, he'd make $40,000. Wife works in a medical office. She makes about 20. She might make 15 elsewhere. And, you know, I have guided my political life through the Baileys.
So let's just be clear before I finish off that clip. She works in a medical office, and he is an insurance adjuster. They live in Massapequa here on Long Island. Okay. Everything working well so far. He makes about 50. She makes about $15,000 a year. Okay, obviously that clip is from a little while ago, but, you know, they've got political views of their own. We're now going to replay that clip and let John tell you another little interesting nugget about the Bailey family.
We want to talk less about Chuck Schumer himself and more about two of his favorite people, Joe and Eileen Bailey. They're a couple that throughout Schumer's career, he has talked about a lot.
They're a middle-class couple in Massapequa, which is a suburb on Long Island.
Joe and Eileen Bailey, this middle-class couple, they bought into Reagan Republicanism in 1980. Right. Joe and Eileen are worried about losing their jobs or their friends' jobs.
The Baileys really don't believe in trickle-down. They don't believe in a whole lot of government spending, but they believe in tax breaks for kids to go to college.
He's an insurance adjuster and lives in the New York suburbs. By New York standards, he makes $50,000 a year. If he lived in the middle of the country, he'd make $40,000. Wife works in a medical office. She makes about 20. She might make 15 elsewhere. And, you know, I have guided my political life through the Baileys.
The Baileys have guided Chuck Schumer's political life, which is a little weird given they don't exist. Seriously, he invented them. Schumer first introduced the...
Schumer invented these people. They do not exist. And I want to be clear, because I don't believe things that John Oliver say. I looked it up. There is no one named Joe and Eileen Bailey living in Massapequa on Long Island or the surrounding towns. They don't live in Hicksville. They don't live in Bethpage. They don't live in Seaford. They don't live in Wantagh. They don't live in Amityville. They don't live in Farmingdale. There is no couple that exists anywhere in the area named Joe and Eileen Bailey that apparently is an insurance adjuster and works in a medical office. But look, okay, I want to be clear. You know, maybe he's talking about some guy from high school, you know, some guy that he knew growing up. He got the wife's name wrong, maiden names, this, that, and the third. I'm sure Chuck Schumer doesn't really spend a lot of time around the old neighborhood. So it would be incredibly odd if Chuck Schumer were to have written a book where he references this made-up family 250 times inside of 250 pages.
To the Baileys in his 2007 book, Positively American, Winning Back the Middle Class Majority, One Family at a Time. In it, he mentions the Baileys an astonishing 265 times in 264 pages. But he'd apparently been talking about them for years before the book was published. One of his former spokespeople said he's always asking, what would the Baileys think? And to be fair, Schumer acknowledges that some may find this a little weird.
If you ask my staff, I've been talking about and talking to the Baileys for 15 years. I have conversations with them. One of my staffers once said I had imaginary friends to the press, got me in some trouble. But these people are real, and I respect them, and I really love them, and I care about them.
Okay, sure, but they're literally not real, Chuck.
They're literally not real. So Chuck Schumer talks to and respects a family living in Massapequa that doesn't exist. But look. As John is about to say, it's not out of the realm of possibility for political figures out there to reference, like, the quintessential American couple, as he pointed out in this tweet from October of 2012, the quintessential slice of America, and use a sort of fictional group of people to represent the larger population as a whole. I mean, is it kind of weird? But you could understand how someone would do that. But if you were going to do that, you wouldn't need to give them, like, aggressively insane backstories that could pass a CIA lie detector test, would you?
If you can understand the potential utility of creating a prototypical voter in your head, this goes way beyond that, because Schumer's given the Baileys an unnecessarily detailed backstory. For instance, he said Joe takes off his cap and sings along with the national anthem before the occasional Islanders game. Okay. And when their daughter Megan, oh yeah, they've got kids, by the way, told Eileen a friend was caught cheating on a quiz, Eileen was appalled because lying is not tolerated in the house ever. Also, Eileen apparently helps with the clothing drive at her church, and her father had a prostate cancer scare a few years ago. Again, this is a made-up family. None of these people exist. But wait, I'm still not done. Apparently, Joe Bailey would never have a goatee. They watch Sex and the City and Desperate Housewives, though Joe pretends not to like either show. They think most baseball players probably take steroids, and if they were to ever go out to a Chinese restaurant, they would order Kung Pao chicken.
Oh, that's right. Joe and Eileen Bailey, the couple from Massapequa, who have dictated Chuck Schumer's entire political career, also have a daughter named Megan, except that they don't, because that family, once again, does not exist. And for some reason, they like Kung Pao chicken, and Joe is really into Desperate Housewives. Why in the sweet hell would anyone go into this much detail about a family that doesn't exist? But look, all right, maybe Chuck Schumer doesn't have a lot of friends, which would totally make sense, considering he's one of the weirdest people on planet Earth, lest we forget that time he took a photograph of himself putting cheese on top of a raw hamburger. You know, Chuck Schumer's a weirdo. You know, his cousin Amy Schumer is the least funny famous comedian on planet Earth. But what else should we know about Joe and Eileen Bailey? Because we now know they like Kung Pao chicken. Apparently they're Islanders fans, which if you're from New York, you know that makes them the worst people in America. But, you know, at least he does take his hat off when he sings the national anthem. What about their political views? You know, Chuck Schumer is a political person. So if he has shaped his entire life based on the Bailey family, it would be interesting to know what their political views are. Well, luckily, Chuck lets us know about that.
These do seem to have a lot of sway over Schumer's politics, as he's brought them up when discussing everything from the 2008 financial crisis to cybersecurity, which he framed as protecting the security the Baileys feel when they go online to buy birthday presents. And to hear Schumer tell it, the Baileys' views can be complicated.
The Baileys are not anti-immigration, but they are anti-illegal immigration. They really dislike the Enron executives who stole money, but they hate the people who burn the flag even more. They are pro-choice. They understand that a fundamental decision like that should be made by the individual, but they're glad their church isn't.
Really? Are you sure about that? And the more you-
In that moment, I want to make it clear, he's speaking at Harvard University at the John F. Kennedy Institute of Politics, where he has completely made up political views about a completely made up family. But look, obviously they're around his age if they're friends with him. So why don't we, figure out how Joe and Eileen Bailey, the couple from Massapequa who don't exist, why don't we find out their take on, the Civil Rights Act?
And the more you hear about the Baileys, the more it feels like they represent a very particular slice of the electorate. Schumer said that they supported the civil rights and anti-Vietnam War movements because they understood that morality was on the side of the protesters. But starting in the late 60s, when those protesters cursed the returning veterans and Stokely Carmichael advocated armed resistance against the white ruling class, the Baileys were lost, which, fun fact, is both a misleading history of the civil rights movement and what people who never supported it tend to say. And yet Schumer will insist the Baileys' concerns are widespread and that they could just as easily have been the Ramirez's of Port Chester, the Kims of Elk Grove, California, or the Salims of Dearborn.
First off, I want to be clear, there's no one named Ramirez in Port Chester. That's also true. But How would we live? How would Chuck Schumer have been able to get reelected all those times if we didn't know how the Baileys, the fake family from Massapequa, Long Island, felt about Stokely Carmichael and the Civil Rights Act? How would he have ever gotten elected? But look, look, I want to be clear. We've now spanned, I don't know, 40, 50 years of American history. We've gone from Vietnam right the way up through the financial crisis, all the way to from Enron to the financial crisis. We've talked about Reagan trickle-down economics, and we know the views of each and every one of them. So very clearly, these people, John and Eileen Bailey, who, I can't say this enough, don't exist. How do you think they feel about Chuck Schumer? Because, look, they're sharing a lot with him. So you would think they would have at least voted for him.
For all he talks about how much he loves the Baileys, they don't seem to return that love. Because in 2021, he explained how the Baileys had voted in the past few presidential elections.
They voted for Clinton, and then they voted for Bush. They're not a member of one party or another. They're independent.
Did they vote for Donald Trump?
Both of them did in 2016. Joe Bailey still did in 2020 with misgivings. But she didn't.
Yeah. The Baileys voted for Trump. And just this March, a reporter actually got an update on their voting history.
You said the Baileys voted for Trump in 2016. They split Trump-Biden in 2020. I'm wondering who they voted for in 2024.
Probably voted for Trump. Probably voted for Trump. But if you ask them why, I think they'd say, above all, crime.
So let me get this straight. Chuck Schumer's imaginary friends didn't vote for him. Chuck Schumer, his imaginary friends, Joe and Eileen, did not vote for him. Moreover, he picked the town Massapequa. There are more capitalists in Venezuela than there are Democrats in Massapequa. But his own imaginary friends didn't vote for him. You know, the best part about this story is, look, none of you were impressed with Chuck Schumer to begin with. But for all the people out there that think that there's some cabal out there, and they're out there, and they're twisting their mustache, trying to figure out ways to get over on people. No, it turns out the majority of the people in elected office are dumb as fuck. They're just dumb. They're just dumb. This guy spent 30 years inventing an imaginary family, only for that family not to vote for him. That's what it's like being in the head of Chuck Schumer. You think that guy controls the world? You think that guy, he's out there figuring things out like the Monopoly man fixing his monocle? No, he's a dumbass with no friends. And when he invents friends, it turns out they vote for Donald Trump. Guys, I have done a lot of stories in my life. This is the funniest thing I have ever read on the air. That is the funniest. Chuck Schumer's own imaginary friends didn't vote for him. What the hell is going on right now? I don't know. I have no idea. Guys, we'll be back in 1 second. Old Glory Bank.
When big banks decide who gets access to America's financial systems and who doesn't, who do you think gets left out? Middle Americans who proudly wave their pro-America values. Cancel culture in banking is corrosive. It limits your participation in a vibrant, free market economy. Fortunately, you can fight back. You now have the opportunity to invest in the bank that's investing in a fair American banking system, one based in freedom. Ownership in Old Glory Bank, the pro-America online bank, is here. Old Glory Bank is a full-service, FDIC-insured bank that's the alternative to overreaching, un-American big banks. We stand for privacy, security, and liberty. We stand for freedom, family, faith, and the flag. We stand for all the values you stand for. and for the values big banks can't stand. So help keep banking in the hands of Main Street, not Wall Street. To invest in Old Glory Bank, go to oldglorybank.com.
Guys, inventing imaginary friends who still don't vote for you can be difficult, but do you know what's not difficult? Switching banks over to Old Glory Bank. And now that President Trump has told these woke banks to knock it off with the debanking, Old Glory didn't need the executive order to do the right thing because they've been doing it since day one. When the big banks were caving to cancel culture, Old Glory stood tall. Faith, family, and freedom. So don't wait for the swamp to fix your problems. Go fix them yourself, guys. Head on over to oldglorybank.com. That's oldglorybank.com/loudmajority. Guys, what do you think? What do you think? Do you guys think you would support Joe and Eileen Bailey if they existed? As I said, they're Islander fans, so they're the worst people on earth. But, they also like Kung Pao chicken, which is kind of gross. But, I do find it interesting. Of course, the part of that I find the most interesting is the little nugget that Joe and Eileen Bailey voted for Donald Trump because of crime. Now, obviously, they live in the idyllic Massapequa suburb where the most dangerous person in the history of Massapequa is actually Alec Baldwin. That's a real statement. Massapequa's been tough over the last couple of years. It really has. You know, you got the Gilgo Beach killer. You got Alec Baldwin. You got Amy Fisher running around shooting Mary Jo Botafogo in the face. Even though Joey Botafogo didn't do anything wrong. Turns out there are some people out there more delusional than Chuck Schumer, and that would be Mary Jo Botafogo. So and Brian Kilmeade, the warmonger. But they voted for Donald Trump, Chuck Schumer's imaginary friends. They voted for Donald Trump over crime. But if you listen to the rich people on television, guys, there actually is no crime. There's no crime, and if we need any more proof of that, all we've got to do is ask this guy, who apparently has decided to dress up like Stanley Tucci in The Hunger Games.
I think it's really important to be clear about what is going on here, and a relatively small crime problem is being used for specific authoritarian purposes that we know and understand. So let's be clear about D.C. does have one really big crime problem, which was the January 6th insurrection incited by the current president of the United States. And his first act in coming back was pardoning all the people who tried to overturn constitutional republic order in Washington, D.C. When I go to D.C., I'm not afraid of losing my wallet so much as I'm afraid of losing my vote. I'm not afraid of losing my wallet so much as I'm afraid that my children's freedom to breathe will be stolen in a world where climate change policy is non-existent. I'm afraid that the future of middle-class people will be stolen by the very things you were talking about, cutting the safety net, cutting Medicaid, cutting rural hospitals.
Right, right.
So there is carjacking going on, but you got to worry about two things at the same time.
Joe Scarborough tries to cut him off, but, you know, he's dressed like a troll doll, so now we've got to listen to him. You see, he's not worried about having his wallet stolen. He's worrying about the air being stolen. Apparently, this guy lives on planet Druidia, and he's really worried about planet Spaceballs stealing all the air. There is something wrong with these people. Because this guy, I don't know who the hell that is. I really don't. I don't care either. He doesn't have to worry about his wallet being stolen because his driver takes him from door to door. So he doesn't ever have to worry about these sorts of things. But some people in the media have had enough of this sort of nonsense. But January 6th for everything. Here was he was Leland Vitter over on News Nation who has had enough and has told terrorist supporter Mehdi Hasan basically to sit down and shut up.
So let's put the National Guard aside. Let's put the National Guard aside. What's wrong with having...
No, I'm not.
I'm not going to put the National Guard aside because it's quite important. It's at the core of this. This is about Trump wanting to do a power grab. This is about Trump's obsession with the military.
Come on. You can pretend
it's about, you think it's because Trump cares about crime in D.C.? Really? Because I remember Donald Trump on January the 6th, 2021, not giving a crap about crime in D.C.
Come on, Letty. Hold on.
You gave Bill O'Reilly a lot of time. Let me give an answer. I'm here for much shorter time. Let me speak. On January 6, 2021, you may want to move on for it. We all watched police officers in D.C. being attacked by a Trump-supporting mob, 150 injured, 600 people killed.
Betty, you're going to sit here. We know the statistics of January 6th. Betty, you're going to sit here. Betty, you're going to sit here. Betty, you're going to sit here and say, if Trump cures cancer, then January 6th was terrible. Okay, the fact of the matter is you can't do you can't have an argument. You can't have an argument about what's happening on the streets of D.C. without going back to January 6th.
Because it's about
Donald Trump, Leland.
But Leland's
It's about how to have people be safe.
I said to you, Donald Trump doesn't care about crime.
Then let's talk about it.
You said, yes, he does. And I said, I'm going to give you evidence to prove he doesn't.
I mean, come on, Democrats. You're losing Leland Vitter. Hey, guys. No one cares about January 6th. Make sure when you put that tweet out, you use the hashtag incapable of living in the moment. Because it turns out, if you get raped at the Navy Yard in Washington, D.C., you don't really care about what happened 5.5 years ago, 4.5 years ago, whatever the hell it was, on January 6th. You don't care. If you're in Union Station and you get peed on by a homeless guy, you don't really care that Nancy Pelosi didn't call in the National Guard. No, but not, it's not just Leland Vitter over on News Nation. And I think News Nation does an okay job, better than the other two networks. But they've even begun to lose Joe Scarborough when it comes to this.
You can walk 40, 50, 60 blocks in Manhattan at 2 in the morning and feel safe. And yet in Washington, D.C., I've got friends that worked in the Biden White House. I have friends that work in the media that say they don't feel safe walking 3 blocks in Washington, D.C. Why can't Washington be fixed despite what the crime numbers say? Because people aren't feeling it.
You know, often it's the perception of being safe or unsafe that affects cities. And I think that's what's happened in Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. has 3,400 police officers. They're undermanned. The National Guard will provide a presence. And sometimes that's all you need to clear a block or clear a person's mind that it's okay to walk that block. Police presence, or the symbols of police presence. Right. So we'll see how it goes.
That's exactly what this is. So for all the people out there freaking out, this is a federal takeover and the 10th Amendment, and what are we going to do? No, it turns out if there's a cop standing on the side of the road, you're probably not going to break into a store. Do you need any evidence of that? Let me ask the audience real quick. I know none of you do this because you're all law-abiding citizens, but have you ever driven excessively over the speed limit and then you just see a cop parked on the side of the road and everyone slows down and then you drive past the cop car and there isn't even somebody in it? Yes, because the mere presence stops you from committing crimes. But there are some people out there. Joe Scarborough, he's kind of coming around. You got Leland Vitter telling the Hamas-supporting Mehdi Hassan to sit down and shut up, cutting him off. But, I introduced you to him yesterday. He is a college professor at Princeton. His name is Eddie Gloud, and Donald Trump has straight up broken this man. Broken him. Eddie Gloud, he's done.
That's today.
So, first of all, I have been blessed to take that journey with you. And I'm working on a book on this right now entitled America USA. And what we're seeing, Nicole, is very clear. The Trump administration and his minions, they reject the idea of America as on the road to being a more perfect union. They reject more perfect union talk. Why? Because the MAGA evangelical vision of American civil religion presupposes that the victory was won in the founding. All we need to do is remember, restore, and conserve. We don't need to tell the story about how we faltered with regards to slavery. We don't need to tell the story about Jim Crow. We don't need to tell the story about women, Native Americans. We don't need to tell the story about where we fell short. Because if we do, as the executive order around restoring truth in American history said, it amounts to a disparaging Americans past and living.
What the hell does this have to do with Native Americans? What? That man is considered one of the smart people on the left. Now, look, I know I don't have a PhD, and I know I'm not a college professor, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night, and even I know that guy is a dumbass. Do you want to know how I know that? Because it turns out if you actually go to Washington, D.C., and not, you know, yammering on from your office in Princeton, you might find out that there are some things going on in Washington, D.C. that some people really don't like. For example, did you know that if you go into a Stop and Shop in Washington, D.C., you are no longer allowed to carry a backpack?
So starting today at 12 giant grocery stores in D.C. and Maryland, if you have a bag over 14 inches, you cannot take it inside the store. So what does that look like? Here's a backpack, 14 inches. This one can't go in. Also, if you're under 18 years old, you cannot go into the store after 6 p.m. without an adult. Giant store leaders say it is all because of thieves, and shoppers we spoke to say all these new rules, these are a small price to pay.
It's a private business. They can set their own rules.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't like it, shop somewhere else. It would also keep prices down for us as a consumer. And I think the stores are trying to do the best that they can to help the consumer out. And if that's what it takes, then that's what they have to do.
I'm for anything that works. If it makes anything better for the community, and if it works for the kids to keep the kids from coming in, I think because you should teach the kids not to steal. So,
anything, simple, right?
Yeah, anything that works for the community and everybody else.
It's unfortunate because apparently a lot of theft has been happening, and that's the reason why. So they got to do something. Otherwise, we won't have a giant. So to prevent it from closing, I don't blame them. They got to do what they got to do.
Regular people. By the way, asking for a friend, who the hell was that reporter? Asking for a friend, obviously. You can't bring a backpack into a supermarket anymore in Washington, D.C., and everybody seems to agree with the policy. But Eddie Gloud, the genius, the man who thinks that patrolling Washington, D.C., means that Americans want to forget slavery? Eddie Gloud. And you know what? I know I said a naughty word before, and I shouldn't have, so I'm going to turn the microphone off for this one. Eddie Gloud, I have to know, what the f*** talking about? What are you talking about, bro? It turns out if you just put an amalgamation of really big words together, idiots like Nicole Wallace, who I think is still looking for those weapons of mass destruction, won't know that you're actually a giant dumbass. Need any more proof of that? We're going to talk about peace deals here in a little bit, because it turns out Donald Trump has been rocking and rolling when it comes to the peace deals. But there are some people out there who simply cannot give him any credit whatsoever for anything. Before we get to that, here's Jeremy.
Hey, everyone. Sorry to barge in like this, but I do want to talk to you about this opportunity for 45% off of every day dose coffee. And this isn't just your regular coffee, folks. If you're like me, you love your coffee routine. I've loved my coffee routine since I was probably 16 years old. Unfortunately, as I've gotten older, some of the coffee that I love doesn't love me back and does cause bloating, does cause jitters, can only drink so much a day, and there's really only so much I could do with it. Now, every day dose is known as coffee plus benefits. And what I mean by that, folks, is A, there is an ingredients booklet in there that gives you a ton of different recipes on how to make cold brew coffees of all different kinds, lattes, different hot coffees, and more. But the greatest thing about Everyday Dose is it is known as coffee plus benefits, meaning that you're going to have 100% Arabica coffee, and you're going to also have lion's mane, chaga, collagen protein, and nootropics that keep your brain focused. No jitters, no heart palpitations, and a ton of different recipes. And you're going to get a frother, a tumbler, a box set with a bunch of different gifts in it, an ingredients booklet for recipes, coffee, and more for only $27, folks. 45% off by going to everydaydose.com/LFATV. That's everydaydose.com/LFATV. Why not expand your experiences with coffee? That's everydaydose.com/LFATV.
So despite all of this, the incessant crime wave and everything happening all over Washington, D.C., and the majority of our major American metropolitan cities, Donald Trump is still out there rocking and rolling, rolling and rocking. And this week he's going to be meeting with Vladimir Putin in an attempt to end the war in Ukraine. Good. Now, I've said this numerous times. I don't care about this war. Ukraine has been part of Russia. It has not been part of Russia. It was. It wasn't. Breadbasket. Stalin came in. 6 million people. They're a little pissed off. But they all, half of them speak Russian. Half of their soldiers are Nazis. They've started drafting people in their 60s to go die on the front lines. So I would very much like to see an end to this war. The same way I like to see it, the end of the war, I believe it was Cambodia and Thailand. Very good stuff. Less people are dying. India and Pakistan. That's definitely not a war we should be happy about. It's over. You know, it's only radical Muslim fundamentalists who may or may not have nuclear weapons. That war ended rather quickly. But some people out there are very, very upset that these sorts of things are happening. And one of them is you know, the Temu Colonel Sanders.
You've been highly critical, obviously, of Trump's foreign policy generally and specifically on this case. Does he deserve some credit, though? He's had a string of what seemed to be legitimate foreign policy successes. You had the Azerbaijan-Armenia deal that was announced at the White House. He helped broker the agreement between Congo and Rwanda to stop the fighting there. He also helped to broker the agreement between Cambodia and Thailand. I mean, they're talking Nobel Peace Prize. I don't expect you to endorse the Nobel Peace Prize for Trump, but doesn't he deserve some credit for all of this?
Well, I don't think what he has done materially changes the situations in any of those circumstances or several others he's mentioned, like Pakistan, India, where the Indians, not just the government, the entire country, are outraged that he tried to take credit for that. In Thailand, Cambodia, he simply threatened tariffs. If they didn't sign a deal, they've signed a deal. Nothing has changed. And the real kicker in Azerbaijan, Armenia, was the Russians allowing Azerbaijan to take control of Nagorno-Karabakh in the past year. So I think what Trump has done is make it clear that he wants a Nobel Peace Prize more than anything else.
Of course, that's John Bolton, the man who can only reach an erection when a third world village gets bombed, and or Lindsey Graham sitting on his lap. But for some reason, Jonathan Carl still thinks we need to have vestiges of the past on. By the way, that mustache is hideous. I don't know, maybe he keeps it around because it tickles Lindsey Graham's balls. I don't really know. But the warmongers are out. But it's not just the warmongers on the right. Here is some lady on CNN. I don't know who the hell she is. I want you to pay attention to the language that this woman uses. I don't know who she is, but she's got a point, and she wants to make it. She wants to make her point so damn badly, that she uses the same word like four times, just once again, like Eddie Gloud, in order to seem smart. Luckily, Senator Jennings was having none of it.
The president has solved like seven conflicts this year. I'm willing to give him some latitude to talk to Vladimir Putin and break the deadlock and try to move us toward a place where the killing comes to an end, because I think that's what we should all be praying for.
He actually hasn't solved seven conflicts. There's been a lot of talk about that.
What reality do you live in? He's literally got these guys in the White House where they're signing documents and shaking hands. Acknowledge the man is solving peace.
India questioned about whether that was an actual deal.
It happens on almost a weekly basis. Just acknowledge it. Just acknowledge it.
And I will also acknowledge that Donald Trump seems to have an affinity for Vladimir Putin in a way. No, you're not going to get away with calling me a liar. I know that's like the line.
You're lying.
But I'm not
lying. You're lying.
Nobody's lying about anything.
Sure you are.
Can ask the countries who were involved in whether those conflicts were actually solved by Donald Trump or whether it was pomp and circumstance.
Okay.
Anyway.
Whatever you say. You're the expert.
Donald Trump's affinity for Vladimir Putin versus the way he treats Zelensky. Who
she had to make sure she got the word affinity in there like six times. She had to make sure that she got affinity in because I guess she was scrolling through her thesaurus and couldn't come up with another word.
Was the one
did he show affinity to them when he just arranged for the arms to NATO?
I'm just sorry, so Eddie.
We're saying things that do not exist in reality.
He just got
NATO to do hundreds of millions of dollars of lethal weapons to Ukraine. What affinity to Russia is that?
It's crazy. Let her finish so I can even understand what point she's trying to make.
Let her finish the point.
Okay. So we all have seen how Donald Trump has been very has an affinity for Vladimir Putin. We have seen.
Has an affinity, got to make sure. She wrote that down right before the show. Had to get the word affinity in there.
Seen the pattern for years, and only recently, because he hasn't been able to solve the crisis in 24 hours, because Putin has been playing him from day one. He's been a useful idiot for Russia for years. And now, because they're trying to change the subject.
Is Biden
doing
a useful
this,
idiot?
Talking about
it started when Biden was president. I'm just curious if you're going to hold Biden the same standard. If Donald Trump's always a useful idiot, then Joe Biden should be.
Let's not even go there.
Part of the point that she's making is that Trump, first of all, he needs to resolve this because he said when he was running for president that he would resolve it in 24 hours. That clearly has not happened. But he wants to be a peacemaker.
He wants
to be a peacemaker in the situation. He wants the Nobel Peace Prize, that whole thing. And this has been elusive largely because Vladimir Putin is not that interested in the deal. He's not. So, I mean, is Trump going into this a little bit naive, thinking that Putin is actually ready to deal when Putin really wants is complete victory? This is the part that I think is really just sad.
Is that there's people that are sitting at this table that clearly want this to be a failure.
Where are those people?
I think you're one of them.
What? You don't put words in my mouth. I never said that, and neither did Dan.
You come out here with the talking points. Oh,
we want him to negotiate from a position of strength, not bringing a war criminal on U.S. soil and saying, I'm not allowed to interrupt you, but you can interrupt me and overtalk the whole time. You don't like it, right?
I heard a lot of what you said. I heard a lot of what you said, and a lot of it was against Trump. I go back to what I was saying.
Let me let Dan.
She's a strong black woman, so she gets to just make shit up on television. Luckily, Abby Phillip, who went to Harvard, the same place they got to listen to that ridiculous story about Chuck Schumer and Joe and Eileen Bailey, the family that doesn't exist from Long Island. Yeah, no big deal. Let's just move on. Apparently, someone just sent this to me. Apparently, Jeffrey Goldberg in The New Yorker wrote about this family in 2007. Wrote about it in 2007, and Chuck Schumer is still telling the lie in 2015, 2025, whatever the hell the year is. So as Trump strikes for peace, there are still Democrats out there yelling, Russia, Russia, Russia. Despite the fact that we are now finding out that the whole thing was all. The whole thing was completely made up. And now we're finding out that old Shifty Schiff may have gone out of his way to leak classified information that wasn't real in order to get Trump with Russia.
And tonight, breaking news and new developments as the Russia, Russia, Russia hoax continues to unravel. According to our friend John Solomon and a new report tonight just out, and he will join us in just a moment, a Democrat whistleblower repeatedly was warning the FBI beginning in 2017 that the congenital liar Adam Schiff had authorized leaking classified information to smear President Trump, which, by the way, could be a violation of the Espionage Act. Here with more on this breaking report, the editor-in-chief, founder, chief investigative reporter, justthenews.com, John Solomon. This is a big story, and this is a Democratic whistleblower, and there might be other Democrats implicated as well, like Kinzinger.
Yeah, well, one of the guys that's in here is Eric Swalwell. Now, that is secondhand information from the whistleblower, but the whistleblower actually attended a meeting with Adam Schiff when
corrected.
He was ranking member. Yeah.
I stand
no
corrected.
Problem.
It was. They both hate Trump, so I kind of mix them up.
Yeah, they're all merged together these days. Listen, this whistleblower literally sat in a meeting, he says, he tells the FBI, where Adam Schiff authorized the leaking of classified secrets to dirty up Donald Trump and to try to build towards either a select committee in Congress or a special prosecutor. This whistleblower was a career intelligence officer. He had worked for the House Intelligence Committee, Democrat staff, for a dozen years when he came forward to to the FBI. He gave four interviews. He gave very specific information to the FBI, and nothing happened. Why? Because the Justice Department simply decided to take a pass. How many times have we sat around in the last decade and heard, we're going to get to the bottom of that classified leak, and then a few months later, we couldn't get to the bottom of that classified leak. In the case of Adam Schiff, they got to the bottom of some classified leaks, but the Justice Department chose not to act. So tonight, past attorney generals, people like Merrick Garland and Jeff Sessions and Rod Rosenstein, who was acting on Russiagate, they've got some serious questions answered. Did they know about this Adam Schiff stuff? Why did they allow it to be passed on? And will anything happen in the current Justice Department?
Will anything happen? And look, I trust Cash. I trust Dan. I trust Pam slightly less. After, you know, we got to yell about Epstein. We got to make sure we say Epstein in every show, because if we don't, you know, then there's some people that lose their mind about it. But it turns out Adam Schiff okayed the leaking of classified documents, which would be a violation of the Espionage Act. An actual violation of the Espionage. Mortgage fraud. That would be the best thing that could happen to Adam Schiff. Him being prosecuted for mortgage fraud. This is wild, wild stuff. According to the newly revealed FBI memos obtained by Justin News, you saw John Solomon there, the whistleblower, a Democrat by party affiliation that described himself as both a friend of Schiff and Devin Nunes, called the leaking unethical, illegal, and treasonous. But he told agents he was assured by Schiff and others that there was no risk of prosecution because the Constitution's speech and debate clause would shield them from legal consequences. So he knew it was illegal and did it anyway. No public record exists showing the Attorney General or Solicitor General ever issued an opinion endorsing the interpretation, but DOJ officials allegedly showed little interest in pursuing the matter. In a 2023 interview with the FBI's St. Louis field office, the whistleblower said he attended an all-staff meeting where Schiff explicitly authorized the leaking of classified material derogatory to President Trump. Schiff allegedly stated the information would be used to, quote, indict President Trump. When the whistleblower objected, others in the meeting reportedly assured him that they would not be caught. So, this is worse than Watergate. That's the line, right? Everything's worse than Watergate. Deflategate, worse than Watergate. Everything is worse than Watergate. No. This actually is way worse. This is like Rosenberg level shit. And what happened to them, by the way? Chat, let me know if you remember what happened to the old Rosenbergs. We haven't heard from them in a while. They're probably still cooling off from old Sparky. Shit happens. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? But there is good news. There is good news coming, and we'll get to that in 1 second before we do Mike Lindell.
I'm excited to announce that we're having our first ever mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, save over 50% on this season's flannel sheets. Queen size only $59.98. Kings only $69.98. They sell out fast every year, so order now. Save 20% on our brand new My Crosses. They're designed in the likeness of the one I've worn every day for over 20 years. They come in men's and women's, and they're made right here in the USA. Get our 2025 six-piece My Towel sets for only $29.98. Our initial quantities are extremely low, so get them now before they go. and our best-selling standard MyPillows, just $14.98. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use this promo code to take advantage of our first ever mega sale. But wait, remember that $75 free shipping rule? Well, that ship is sailed, because right now, every order ships absolutely free.
Guys, head on over to MyPillow.com, promo code LOUD, that's MyPillow.com, promo code L-O-U-D for up to 80% off everything on the website, that's MyPillow.com, promo code LOUD. Also, guys, once again, head on over to LoudMajorityUSA.com, that's LoudMajorityUSA.com. If you've already got everything you want from the shop, guys, please, I mean this, do consider hitting that donate button at the top. Become a monthly donor here to the Loud Majority. It's only $5 a month, and we really do appreciate it, particularly in these trying times. So, guys, hit that donate button. If you're watching on X, hit the subscribe button if you appreciate the work that we do over here at the Loud Majority. Now, before we talked about Mike Lindell and MyPillow, I said there was good news. Ha ha ha! I was only kidding. I was only kidding, because, of course, there is no good news. Because it turns out, guys, if you go to Cincinnati, the city that was safer when Jerry Springer was in charge of it, if you go there and you get jumped by a roving band of animals, yes, animals, because any man that punches a woman is an animal and should be shot in the face. If you do that, black community leaders will actually come out and say that it's your fault you got jumped.
Six individuals were charged with aggravated assault, which is a felony. The white guy incited or urged six other people to commit a felony.
The method by which this situation has been handled raises serious questions as to whether there's bias involved in the investigation. It also brings into question the possibility of a lack of integrity and whether there's something else to hide.
Oh, there's something to hide, all right. Probably the fact that everyone involved in that fight, on the one side, didn't have a father in the home to teach them not to hit women. I don't know. Could be that. Or you could go to Cincinnati and get jumped by a roving band of 20-year-olds, and then somehow it's your fault. It's also your fault that none of them decided to call the police because they were too busy filming it on their phone for TikTok, because some people out there would rather film an incident than, you know, stop somebody from possibly dying. That's your fault. It's not their fault. Aren't you guys so happy that Barack Obama fixed all the racial tension in America? Man, that was fun. Those were good times. You remember that? Remember that when they lied about Michael Brown, and they lied about Trayvon Martin, and they lied about George Floyd, and then they set the country on fire like every summer for a decade? Remember that? Now it's your fault. It's nobody else's fault. But if President Trump comes in and tries to fix the crime problem you have in your particular city, that's a serious problem. That's a serious problem, because rich black people do not think the same way as poor black people. You see Simone Sanders and Eddie Gloud and that guy who looked like Stanley Tucci in The Hunger Games. They never have to face actual neighborhoods. No. Their drivers handle that. But if you were to go out into the neighborhoods and you were to ask actual people how they feel about it, they might think a little bit differently.
We need all the protection that we can get in the city, because the city is really getting dangerous. A person like me at this age, I have to make sure to come home before sundown.
You got to come home before sundown. As a matter of fact, I actually got into a fight with that dithering idiot, Jim Walden, who's running for mayor of New York, despite the fact that nobody knows who the hell he is. I got into an argument in Twitter space with him last night because he said that actually New York is pretty safe. And then I told him that I would casually drop him off at, say, I don't know, Archer Avenue in Jamaica, Queens at about, I don't know, 12:15 in the morning, right outside the Azura nightclub, which, if any of you want to die, that would be a good place for you to start. Maybe I'll drop him off in East New York. Maybe I'll drop him off in Washington Heights. I don't know. Maybe walk two blocks outside the Yankee game after they just blew a lead and let me know how that goes for you. There's a reason why when you leave the Yankee game, the police walk you from the stadium to the subway. There's a reason why those things happen. You're going to put federal troops in all of our major cities and our freedoms will be gone. Yeah, like your freedom to not be set on fire by a homeless vagrant in the subway. Your freedom to not watch a man take a dump in a clear plastic bag on the A train. Huh. Guys, I hate to break this to you, but like, there's been National Guard troops at Penn Station since 9/11. And nobody's life has changed at all. Nobody's life has changed at all. So for everybody, just chill the hell out. Chill the hell out. Also, for all the panickins out there who wanted to say the tariffs were going to lead to the end of humanity and everybody was going to die and there were going to be bread lines and we'd be breaking into zoos and eating the giraffes or whatever the hell it is they were saying. Turns out, month over month, inflation continues to go down.
Month over month for July, the headline number, a jump of 0.2%, 0.2% month over month. But year over year, the headline number coming in lighter than expected, 2.7%. The expectation was 2.8%. The core month over month, that came in line with expectations, a gain of 0.3%. The core year over year, smidge higher, 3.1%, but the expectation was 3%. As for that owner's equivalent of rent, primary residences, that was a jump of 0.3%. Housing up 0.2% month over month. Food coming in flat month over month. Energy prices actually down. And that looks like that's what brought the headline number down less than expected. Energy prices down 1.1%. Gasoline prices down 2.2%. New vehicle sales were flat for the month. So again, this coming in lighter than expected on the headline number.
Well, it turns out energy prices are down. Even CNN had to admit it.
When you look at the key categories that we always look at, energy, food, and shelter, energy fell by 1.1%. That was largely driven because of gas prices falling in the month of July by 2.2%. Look at that food. I mean, this is where people spend their money, right?
Yeah. Gas prices were down in the month of July. For the first time ever, because that's when everyone's driving. That's when everyone's going on vacation. That's when everyone's going to the beach. It turns out gas prices never go down in the summer. Ever. They did this time. Why? I don't know. I'm not an energy expert, but once again, I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. I like that line from the 90s. I think I'm going to keep using it. Boy, what a hell of a show today. I am sweating to death right now because I don't know why this damn room is so hot. But at least I know I'm paying less for energy for the air conditioner that apparently is not working in my damn window. Guys, Pete Santilli is coming up next right here on LFA TV. I am jacked up today. One hell of a show. It is great to be back with you. I would love to stay longer, but I actually have a dinner date with Joe and Eileen Bailey out at All American in Massapequa. If I get there soon, maybe they'll show up. Maybe. Guys, until tomorrow, everybody, stay loud.